I can have your attention, please. I'd like to call this meeting of the Cuyahoga Interstate Planning Commission to order. And the first item is roll call. Steve Frye.
Howard Anderson.
Here.
James Turner.
Here.
James Enzo. James Carpenter. Kelly Savonia.
Here.
Jim Morgan. Jeff Thompson. Chad Nelson.
Here.
Deanna Holliday. Patrick Lighty.
Here.
Philip.
Here.
Terry Porter. Rob Klein. Sam.
Here.
Kenneth Atkins. Robert Faison. Nate Dillon. Eric Kane. Quinn. Ruggles. Stephen Gilmore. Joe Rubb.
Here.
Michael Grady. Robert Carpenter.
Here.
Thompson. Bill Big. Ron Deal.
Here.
Andy Skidmore. Austin. We have Rick O'Dot.
Mike Dombrowski's on the phone.
Thank you. Thomas Witt. Matt Mann. Chris Long. Thanks.
All right. Have established the quorum with the proxies. We're ready to move on. Next item is approval of minutes from the previous meeting, October 4th. If you pass those in possession, they will send out. So what's your pleasure?
Motion to approve.
Motion's been made. Has been seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, favor say aye.
Aye.
Those no, the motion carries.
Yes, Mayor Simpson on the phone.
Thank you.
Next item is the update on Cuyahoga Transportation Study. We have no formal presentations, but we do have consultants available on the phone if you have any questions whatsoever. We also have the audio presentation on YouTube. If you'd like to go on YouTube, you can see these presentations. And so we'll just introduce them. If you have any questions, we'll be happy to ask those that are on the phone. Ohio River Bridge Crossing Study. Manuch Amaya.
Good afternoon, this is Manuch. If anyone has a question, I'd be happy to answer.
Have a question? Okay, thank you, Manuch.
Thank you.
Safety study for Cabell and Wayne County, Steve Ficken.
Hello, everyone. Any questions?
I don't see any questions. So we'll move on to the Lawrence County Transit Study. Thank you, Steve. Barb Brown. I'll answer any questions you might have. There's also a PowerPoint presentation. And that, anybody have any questions about the Lawrence County Transit Study? Okay, then we'll move on to the Executive Director's Report, and we'll call on Chris Childs, our Executive Director.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for attending on this early December afternoon. I will be brief. I just have a few points I wanted to highlight, and I will encourage you, going back to the previous agenda item, anyone who has not done so, I encourage you to check out Cuyahoga's YouTube page. You go to Cuyahoga's website, at the top of the page is a link to the YouTube channel, because there are basic a little mini webinar, some anywhere from 2 to 5 or 6 minutes, where the consultants just give a, just kind of go through the PowerPoint slides and give some narration in the background. So it's a good opportunity to get a project update on whatever project is, most important to you that you want to look over, or if any of your constituents have questions about this project or that project, you can always direct them to the YouTube channel as well, and that way they can go, and it, you know, it's open to the public, so anyone can go and can watch the video and just get a little update on the project. And for those of you who were not here for the public meeting for the Ohio River Bridge crossing study a couple weeks ago, I think we broke an attendance record. Luckily, the fire marshal did not get called here to the building because we had quite the turnout. So generating a lot of interest in that project, both from all three states, but especially West Virginia and Ohio. So we're really, really excited about the turnout that we had. Just a quick update on the FY20 Cuyahoga Transportation Study. So these are a couple of the studies that we do through our annual work program. Now that the fiscal year has started, we've got the consultants for the project. We're just finalizing the scope on those, and those contracts should be signed, and we'll be starting those within the next month or two, but hopefully very soon. Those are all two-year studies, so work will really begin starting calendar year 20. The Howe Greer Boulevard corridor project, that's the huge overhaul and big upgrade to Howe Greer Boulevard that we've had a few motions and votes on over the last couple meetings. That has continued to move forward. Same situation as the transportation studies. We're working on the scope with the consultant on that, which should be signed here very shortly, and work on the design and the environmental should begin probably at the beginning of calendar year 2020, so here in the next couple months. The design and environmental on the Howe Greer Boulevard project should begin with construction anticipated for begin maybe summer fall of 2021. So we do thank DOA especially for their work and cooperation on that project. It's really much faster than even my wildest dreams would have anticipated. So you'll really start to see some movement on that here in the very near future. Chesapeake Bypass, Tri-State Metropolitan Outer Belt. If you remember in our last meeting, we talked some about Cuyahoga's application to TRAC, which is the Ohio Transportation Review Advisory Committee. Is that correct, Dr.? Close enough. I said it was false, so everyone's going to assume that was correct. So we're happy to announce that the TRAC has committed $5 million to further work on the Chesapeake Bypass, phase two of that. We're really excited for that. So $1.5 million is going to go to updating the design and some of the environmental documents. The other $3.5 million going to additional right-of-way acquisition. So I've been going up there to Columbus every year since I've been here now. So we're really, really excited to get that commitment out of track to go towards the bypass, and it's going to continue to move forward. I've got a joke at home. I've got a couple projects where I have to account for. Whenever I go to Columbus, I can just say, Columbus, the Chesapeake Bypass. She knows what I'm talking about. So that's a project we continue to monitor in advance by several decades, but several years of time. We're really excited about that. The last thing I'll mention, the freight plan for avoiding greed of counties, the Ashland Downtown Feasibility Study. So these are a few projects that I believe we had begun to introduce last meeting. I'll start off with highlights. There's no local match communities for those studies. So for the city of Ashland and Boyd and Greenup County, no local match for those studies. So that's always a plus. But for the freight plan for Boyd and Greenup County, we're going to have a scoping meeting sometime in January. So the consultant is on board for that. We'll have our first next month. And then the Action Downtown Feasibility Study, that's just everything is being processed there. We're still working on getting the consultant on board. And then we'll have a meeting set. But that's moving forward. Everything is still just sort of being processed at that point. Anyone have any questions or anything for me?
What are they looking for in the Ashland?
called it down to feasibility. The main purpose is going to be the looking at the feasibility of adjusting Winchester Avenue, taking it down, and then also looking at parking as a major.
Update on the creature carpet corridor. Facility I haven't heard much about yet, like starting to make up for that.
So the actual intermodal facility, to be honest with you, I have not heard anything new on the intermodal facility. It's public. I'll turn it over to Wayne County Commissioner Maddox if you want to say anything about that.
They did not have that meeting. I guess. It was canceled, rescheduled. There could be an announcement in the next 2 weeks about that. Unfortunately, what happened when we were able to get contract interest from the Port Authority of Virginia on that property, and it was an exciting venture because they are big players in that business. Norfolk and Southern pulled out. Letter that they would no longer service that facility as of November 1st. So they withdrew from servicing the facility with a demand for a certain ratio of cargo being shipped, which was an incredible increase over anything that they've ever done, more than 10 times what they were averaging right now. So the demand by Norfolk and Southern forced the Port Authority of Virginia out of the game. They withdrew their expression of interest, and it left us at that point with only one viable anyway, state has to selling the property or leasing the property to work on that right now. There should be an announcement. What's going to happen? Well, I don't want to say that. I don't think that's the case. Incredible loss. But it was just fortunately a poor management scheme from the outset. They didn't want to manage it instead of having professionals go in that business from the beginning. So we are where we are. Hopefully the facility will be with you. Well, I think it will be.
Any other questions? I refer to someone else to provide the expertise on part of my specialty.
The Outer Belt Bridge, is there a chance that the environmental studies can be faster into the mix of the process?
Well, certainly we will need the next step on. I know you. I prefer to have the current study completed and go on the process. In the end of this year is the final report will be due. 2022, June 2020.
Many of the steps in that final process are almost they're so compatible. What I'm saying is all saving probably what you're doing is something go ahead and do the whole piece.
I mean, I can tell you one of the things that our staff will be working on over the next few months will be that next step. How, I mean, quite frankly, doing it is not a problem, finding the money is a problem. So as far as attacking that funding scenario, as Balloon has talked about this in that earlier this week, I guess it was. So this how to pay for that. The next step is the thing that we'll be tackling.
It's under consideration. Thank you.
That certainly is our next step. Thank you all very much for your time. Next on the agenda, I wanted to introduce Mr. Todd Cheater. He is our new federal highway administrator for the Kentucky Division. He has been on the job a whopping 2 weeks. So he is ready to answer all of your in-depth questions. So he did bring Bernadette with him, so who can answer all of your in-depth questions about Kentucky projects. But we're really happy to have Mr. Cheater here. We are the first NPO that he has visited in his time, so we are very happy that he came, and just want to give him an opportunity to say hi and introduce himself. We're happy to have you.
As he mentioned, I've really just arrived in the Kentucky Division, but as I've been talking with my predecessors and my coworkers, and even with our partners, the one thing that's really been impressed upon me is the great working relationships and partnerships with local NPOs, and something that's just really impressed me. I talked about how much easier it makes me. Representative and Bernadette here. I'm sure she's always answering your questions. But again, I really appreciate being here. I'm very excited to be the new administrator of Kentucky, and I look forward to working with all of you. And if there's whatever anything I can do or questions I can answer, y'all know how to get hold of me.
Okay. Thank you again for being here. Next on the agenda is our normal status quo TIF amendment. So if you all will recall the TIF for the Transportation Improvement Program, this is a list of projects really for the entire tri-state that have federal money involved. Every meeting we've got to have some sort of a change or amendment to the TIF. This meeting is different. So next up in your packet, you'll have this staple thing, and you'll have the blue resolution. So the blue resolution is just approving the change to the TIF. And so we had one change that you can see here in Greenup County, the McConnell House. Then we have some CTA transit and a couple amendments there on the second page. And as always, the changes are highlighted here for your review. And then the last page is just the copy of the advertisement in the newspaper, just proving it was in the newspaper. So we would just need a motion.
This time we need a motion to approve the resolution.
So moved.
This has been made. Do I have a second? Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Next item calls for Paul Davis to talk to us, and he isn't here today. He's out of town, so item number 9, which is participation plan update, and Terry Sickling is going to talk to us about that. Terry?
Good afternoon. In your packet, you have a plan document that we are required to complete on a regular basis, usually about every 4 or 5 years, updating the socioeconomic status. And we actually presented this to you all at the last board meeting. There were no changes, and the reason we did not approve it was that we had not completed the public outreach 45-day period. Well, we did complete that in the end of October. We received no comments, and look, it is still presented to you the same way. We did update the resolution to reflect the new date for today. And so I didn't know if anybody had any questions about it. Basically, it goes through and it tells us what we were supposed to do or how we're supposed to activities when we have our activities and plans and programs and projects, where and how we're supposed to address the public. And a lot of these guidelines, and this just kind of shows how we interpret those how we follow through with it. So we do need to have a resolution and approval for this, and any questions on the applicant?
Anybody have any questions? Hearing none, and we need a motion to approve the resolution.
So moved.
And it's been seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Next item is unlimited English proficiency LEC up. Carrie, we call on you again.
Once again, this is very kind of similar to the public participation plan. Some of the elements in it that are they kind of cross over and addresses how we include certain populations, whether it's the elderly, low income, the minority population, into a lot of our questions and plans, and as a data analysis of all of the census tracts of where individuals those tracks and how we're going to try to make sure that everybody, no matter who they are included in all of our projects. This is also a requirement through the federal requirement and is needed for the Federal Transit Administration for funding. So we have to approve this every year, and this is just an update and has some minor changes from last one that we approved to show that there's been some people that have changed positions. We've updated the data. As we know, our area is not very transient, so most of the data is pretty similar from the years before. But we do not need a resolution for this, but we do need a document that it was approved through our board through a motion from the policy board. So if anybody has any questions,
either now or afterwards, just
let me know.
Okay, does anybody have any questions? Motion's been made.
Second.
And seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Yeah. Now we're moving on to the federal, state, and local updates. So first of all, we have the Federal Highway Administration. Oh, I missed one, and a very important one.
Yeah.
Today we're going to have someone to talk about the highlights from around the tri-state, and we have Bob Carpenter, who is Greenup County Judge Executive.
Thank you. As Chris put it on the phone when he called me, he said, would you be my first guinea pig? I said, yeah, I'll be your guinea pig. But I told him, you know, what I would bring up, and you know I'm going to go back to Brady Industries. That's my world revolves around Brady Industry anymore. But, you know, the increase in our traffic, you know, it started us to make our priorities on the highways a need now, not just a wish. Like Route 1, Route 5, both of them, you know, we're going to have to do upgrades. 207 realignment and Greenup in connection to the Industrial Parkway. Additional infrastructure along the Industrial Parkway to open up about 10 more thousand acres. Businesses. And we also have asked for four laning of Kentucky 67 from Technology Drive to US 23, which is right at 14 miles. And you know, we're going to have to do this because there are going to be 300 trucks a day coming out of Brady Industry in and out. So that's what they're estimating is 300 tractor trailers per day. So, you know, our roads are just not set up for that. The growth that, you know, we're experiencing right now is largely back 100 years ago. The iron industry and metal is what's causing us to try to make everything go. We got, like I said, Brady Industries right now, and I'll give you a little update on them. An AK Steel Cleveland Cliff project, you probably read that in the paper yesterday. We were talking about that at lunchtime there, and we're really excited on it. I didn't know anything about it either, but they said it'd be mid-2020 before they just get the paperwork signed. But they're buying all of AK, all their property, and they want to go back to maybe fire up one of the furnaces here that's been down for a while and start making some pig iron and stuff here to sell to other places. So we got our fingers crossed, and we did have a good meeting with them yesterday on the phone, and They seem like awful nice people who want to work with us. So, and Bill can tell you that you got that, that's the first step, is you get an inside person. But the reason Brady, I tell everybody, Brady's about probably 65 to 70% into their money raising. They got to raise $600 million of the $1.4 billion that this project cost. And they've raised a little better than four of it. And but they've got the promises and the rest of it. But so they think they'll have everything ready. And this is with my fingers crossed by the end of the first quarter. So we'll be ready to start to work. The other thing out there right now, we've got the East Park Board that owns the property. They're getting ready to let a contract to do the dirt work and some drilling out there. And you wouldn't believe, I was thinking there'd be all kinds of, excuse me, some, they had a opening on the grant for the bid the other day. Nobody bid them because of the timeline. So they had to go back and change it. So throw you another 30, 60 days behind. But we're hoping that'll start within the next 30 days to let the contract on the, they've got some people now saying that they are going to bid on it. They've changed the timelines. What was. And I just kind of made some, told him I would talk about a few things that we got going on. Is Wright Cement at Wortland Riverport. They finally got the railroad agreeable and they've got the engineering done now and starting on their rail spur to move in there to move the cement company into our Riverport, which will be 120 jobs when they get completely done. Great Lakes Industries is building a new building right now. They're expanding their services, and Vesuvius Incorporated, same thing. Vesuvius is working two shifts a day. But that's just some things that we've got going on. Like I said there a while ago, you know, everything that in our area is that, you know, we've got some things moving. We're hoping, and it's keeping us busy. And we got four or five other people that's looking at us right now, and they're very iffy. But if we can get those, we'll really be in good shape for the next whole bunch of years, I hope. Because I'm on my downside going out of there, but I promised I'd say that we got Brady open, and I hope within the next year we'll have him open. So I hope that's enough guinea pigging for you.
Yep, no, that was great. This is just something I want to do for all of our board meetings, just give, you know, give the different board members an opportunity to talk for a few minutes about whatever they want. It doesn't have to be transportation related. It can be, but just whatever's going on in their communities that they want to talk about and share. So thank you for being a guinea pig. So for next board meeting in February, if anyone else wants to volunteer for that, let me know, or else I'll start making phone calls around the middle of February looking for another volunteer. So I just wanted to give everybody an opportunity to hear directly from the local officials about what's going on in their community, because try to break down some of those barriers between our three states.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Does anybody have any questions for him after that nice presentation?
No, I don't know a lot about Brady. How many jobs will that bring?
Brady, 600 permanent jobs, average 70,000 a year, and then plus about 1,500 construction jobs to build it, 3-year span to build it. The building will be the 13th largest building in the world.
Really?
It's 43-44 acres under roof is what it'll be when it's. That's like Central Park in Asheville under roof.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to this. I mean, it's something that we've wished and wished for, and finally we're looking like we're going to get it rolling finally.
Anybody else? Questions? If not, we look forward to next meeting. Kind of nice to know what's going on around the tri-state area. We're moving on to the federal, state, and local updates, and we have Bernadette DuPont, who's going to talk about Federal Highway Administration.
Thank you. I just want to tell you there's a couple of trainings that are coming to us, hopefully. How many of you have heard of Everyday Counts? It's a federal, excuse me, but it's an initiative that Federal Highway has to make things more streamlined and better, and it brings in innovative technology. And one of the classes that we're having for hopefully we're going to be able to get is a virtual public involvement course. And we got signed up right away, and believe it or not, West Virginia is competing with us, and so is Tennessee. The man who's in charge of it is named Scott Allen, and he's working the Tennessee division. So, you know, we have a better chance of getting it. Kentucky, perhaps, because that's kind of in the middle. But Scott Allen also came to Kentucky, and he knows we have great training facilities, so I'm hoping it'll be a positive for that. But that's something you all already have a great handle on with your YouTube channel, and I advertise that as one of our good things that we have here going on. So kudos to you. The other thing that we have potentially coming here is right now I'm on a committee for a pilot in Louisiana. It's called Freight and Fuel, and it's a new technology they've been working on for 6 years. What it does is it helps you, you know, align your freight because you're working on your freight plan. But it also has an application for long-range planning. And what they have commodities down there that they've been looking at specifically are blueberries and sugar and all the different ways that they're put together, like for pie or for jam or that sort of thing. They're saying, here's your source, here's where you're going to have it made, and how can we use all five modes of transportation to get all five modes of freight to get your product to market. And they're not just looking at, you know, do you need to enhance and make this road wider or bigger, but maybe if you put a road here instead of, you know, over here or just in this way, it might get it there quicker, it might improve your economic development options, and it helps you with the long-range planning. So if you know a road's needed here, you can already put it into your plan. Because those projects take a long time to come to fruition, as you well know. So those are two options that we're working on. And does anyone have any questions about anything? Thank you.
Thank you. I move on to the West Virginia DOT and West Virginia Department of Highway.
Yep. I guess the main update that I'll have for you here this morning or afternoon, I just found out this today before I left that there's going to be a public meeting on Loden Interchange project, which is Monday the 9th from 4 to 7. Have a little attachment there in your packet. If it kind of outlines the two alternatives that they're going to be looking at. But it was my understanding that the red alternative two is looking like the primary so far. But I know it's kind of short notice for you all, but sorry about that. Like I said, I just found out about it today. But if one talking with the engineering division, they did say that PIPO on that project is nearing completion, despite all the environmental justice issues that we had at the onset of it. But the overall project will replace the bridge pier that goes over top of Benedict Road, and then it'll drop a diamond interchange there, and it's going to be upgrading the connector road, so green, the blue, green, or red, whichever they decide to go with. It'll be upgrading that section of roadway. So that's Cologne Interchange. The next one is the I-64 widening job from Merritt's Creek to the Huntington Mall Bridge project. You probably saw where we awarded that project back in July, and they had a press release with our commissioner, Jimmy Reston, and a couple of engineers from the district. And the district engineer came out and said that he anticipates that it will be completed by fall 2022. So I thought that was a pretty nice turnaround. The only other movement that I was able to get a hold of was the US 52 project in Wayne County. I actually talked with the engineer on that project this morning. He said that they are still working their way through archaeology on that project. So seems like it stalled out a little bit there, but they are still working on it. Additionally, we have our long-range transportation plan that we are in development of. Right now, we're finalizing the scope with our consultant on that. So we'll be reaching out with you all whenever it comes to public outreach and that sort of thing. But if you all have any questions, feel free to get hold of us.
Where did you say the public hearing
for Cologne? It's going to be at the Cologne Elementary School. 4 to 7. And last time, that was like a huge turnout. So I think we had over 100 people. So if you are planning on attending, we'll be, I'm assuming we'll have plenty of staff to help answer questions. Yep.
Any more questions?
I would like to ask a question about the 73-74 corridor, the 52 project.
Okay.
So I know that's in different stages. Well, at least as we understand that it's in different stages on the roads to prosperity. The archaeological issue was further down the road, and it didn't seem that it would impede the beginning of that project coming off of I-60. So is that issue that's down the road impeding the beginning of the initial part of that?
So you're asking if you want to get started.
Correct.
Under this Road to Prosperity initiative.
That's what I understand.
I'm not really too sure on that. I'd have to check and see what their plans are for it. Yeah, I'll definitely check on it for you.
Card.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the central office, and we're going to call on Terry again.
I'm going to go ahead and just kind of give a brief update, kind of what's going on in Kentucky. It might not all be transportation related, but as most of you know, that we have a new governor coming into office. Actually, they'll be inaugurated on Tuesday, and with that being said, there will be some cabinet positions that will probably be changing. One of them will be the Secretary of Transportation. I don't know that date that they'll be assuming office, but it will be soon if it's not Tuesday with the inauguration. I'm not sure with that. Like I said, with those changes, we're not quite sure how that's going to affect some of the programs, the projects, and the way that we have. I do know that there's some other positions in KYPC, a central office, that are kind of people with retirement. There are other people who are moving to different departments. So we've got some changes to be looking forward to. And they're real good about keeping us updated and everything. So it's not really an issue, but just want to let you know that next time you come to a meeting, you may not see the same rep from Kentucky, but that's going to be. Really, that's about all I can give on KYPC.
Do you have anything on board?
Yeah, I do have one.
Okay, well, let's just move right on to that.
Okay. I'm more familiar with our local area than I am on the entire state. Okay, so I'm just going to give you kind of an update on some of the projects that we're kind of active right now. Is the City of Russell, we're working on the sidewalk, which is a Safe Route to School project. Many of you know that we have, the city put that out for bid twice. First time, didn't get any bid. The second time, it over, so they held that. And they're going to be putting out in the very near future, hoping that those that did not bid will now because of less work involved. Because when they did it, was really at the spring, into the season, and everybody else was pretty much in. So if that is going to happen, they get the bid through, they should be able to start construction early spring. Late spring, early summer, because they haven't finished the sidewalk over there in the Russell area by fall or around school time when it starts, maybe a little bit later than that. The City of Blackwood, we're still working on theirs. They're doing a Save Route to School project also. And what's interesting about all these projects is that Blackwood and Russell, if you're not familiar, they're neighborhood communities, cities. And so Blackwood's kids go to the Russell School, and actually their school is actually in Blackwood. But, some of them are in Blackwood. So the sidewalks will join together and kids can actually walk to school from many different communities. Blackwood has had a little delay on some of their things. They're doing the parking lot and then go by some of the cemeteries. So that, I talked with Mayor Field, and he said that he thought that part was finished. So hopefully we'll move on and they'll be able to finish the planning and all the design with that, and hopefully, summer, fall, start with the construction on that. So, is that what you're being told? Jeff Carpenter has to talk a little bit about the Industrial Parkway. We're working on the side by side to make sure all the documents are included to make sure all the projects are changes. Not regularly, but we just want to make sure that everything is actually taken before not having a delay from the federal funding document. Also, in Lloyd, that's in Reno County, it's near the city of Reno. We're working on a railroad crossing there because there have been a lot of incidents where individuals are trying to cross Oakdale Road and they can't see the log if it's just on the side where the river is. So, CSX will actually be doing the construction of that project and hopefully they have a year to do this, so I can't tell you when that's going to be done within a year to be finished. Boyd County just completed the Rushoff Road study. If you're interested in seeing on what they came up with the Rushoff Road study, let me know or let Judge Cheney know and they'll make sure they get a copy of that. That study was to determine about how people go in and out of that area because it's a neighborhood, it's a very small narrow roadway, and it gave them the option how individuals can actually access that recreational facility. Then the last one I want to mention is that we're doing a urban area study in Boyd Grand County, and we will be having a stakeholders meeting on the 12th of December. And some of you may have received the Kentucky Vote received an invitation to join stakeholders. And if you have, we would really appreciate the input. If you aren't able to make it, let me know, and we can make sure you have the information with that. We're doing a lot of work here in county. It seems like we finally we've got the TMA understanding a little bit better. Judge Carver has been a great supporter. Those are just kind of a sampling of some of the findings that might be of interest to all of us.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? Okay, we'll move on. We have a large panel on. Texas Lighting, who's on the phone.
Yeah, I don't have. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I don't have very many projects to talk about, but most of what we're doing now is close out of some of the projects we got going on. We do have a couple projects that's in the hopper, one of them being an LBR project, which is a replacement of about a 95-foot span bridge. That's coming up fiscal year 23. And then the Transportation Improvement District, we've been working on the twin roundabouts on the State Route 243 interchange of US 52. We have about 80% of the funds for that project. We're still trying to sew up some of it. The rest of the money, but that's listed for fiscal year 20. That's where we're at right now. We got a project going on, and that's a nightmare. I don't think anybody wants to know about those.
Thank you all so much for being here.